What's up, you guys? Hello, and welcome back to A&A MMA. So happy to have you back, Slim. Slim's gone. Slim wanted to hang out with Dez today or whatever. I don't know. He doesn't care about this show anymore. So it's basically just me moving forward, you guys. Bad news. I'm just kidding. Slim's coming back. But yeah, this is going to be a little bit of like a half episode, you guys. I'm not going to talk about UFC 263 today just yet. I want Slim to be here. I kind of want him and I to be able to go back and forth on that one with that preview. That's going to be coming out Friday, so expect that one, the UFC 263 episode, to be coming out on Friday for you guys. Friday morning, hopefully. But we'll see about that. Should be Friday morning. Nonetheless, it's me back here to give you guys a little bit of a breakdown of the MMA world that's going on right now. We got PFL coming back this weekend, which, of course, shout out to the sponsor, PFL. Gonna give them their little spot here in a minute, but got PFL coming up for you guys. Got Bellator coming up this weekend on Friday, so a couple exciting cards, you guys. Definitely something to look forward to. A little bit of housekeeping. Of course, shout out to Luck Changers Podcast, Boog, Father Tone, AJ, all those guys over there, man. Shout out to them. Putting on a great show week after week. Luck Changers Podcast just last week. I hope you guys went and listened. As I told you, I was the main for them last week. Did the main episode, and it was just the breakdown of the UFC card. I gave a four-fight parlay. One was a no contest, but the other three hit. Man, you guys got to go check out Luck Changers Podcast. I'm giving out some good parlays. Those guys are giving good betting advice on whatever sport it is that you're looking for. So make sure you guys go over there. Check out Luck Changers Podcast. Also, shout out to The Rock Savages Podcast. My guy, Paul. He's got a good operation there over there. Him and his guys, when you listen to it, it kind of takes me back to like sitting around the lunch table, like talking with your buddies. It's what it reminds me of. A lot of great musical interviews that they got, man. They specialize in like rock music, obviously. They're the Rock Savages. So go over there and check them out, man. Like I said, shout out to my guy, Paul. They have a really good thing over there. You can check them out anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff. So the Rock Savages Podcast, go check that out, everybody. All right. Also, if you want to support your boys, you can go find us on Patreon. Our Patreon is patreon.com/A_A_MMA. Anything's appreciated. I think we have it at like $3 and $10 for the monthly totals. This is where you'd be getting your shout out. So yep, if you guys do that, of course, go ahead and message us on Twitter. Let you know that you did it. Let us know that you did it, that is. Our Twitter is A&A_MMA. That's the letter A, the word and, the letter A_MMA. All right, that's all we got for housekeeping. I'm not going to give you guys any news or anything. I'm going to let Slim do his thing, hopefully tomorrow when we record. So all I got here, we're going to start out with UFC Fight Night 189. I'm going to give you guys the rundown on that, and then we're going to go ahead and get into the preview for PFL. Shout out to the sponsor, PFL, coming back this weekend. The fourth installment of the season for 2021. Super exciting card, man. They got Clarissa Shields on there, making her MMA debut. The queen of boxing coming over and taking on Brittany Elkin in that main event. That is going to be worth the watch. I'm telling you guys, make sure you're plugged into your TVs tomorrow. Co-main event, Clay Collard coming off that absolutely amazing performance against Anthony Pettis, taking on Joelton Lutterbach. That's going to be a banger there in the co-main event. You got Brendan Loughnane on the card, Natan Schultz. You got Marcin Held. I mean, top to bottom, just absolutely stacked. Unfortunately, they did lose, let's see here, Mavlid Kabulayev, Anthony Pettis, Lance Palmer, and Roush Manfio, who were all supposed to be on this card. They're going to be rebooked at a later date. They are still fighting. But nonetheless, yeah, just a lot of moving parts going on over there in the PFL. So make sure you guys check that out tomorrow. It comes on at, give me one secchi here. 6 p.m. is when it will be starting. So make sure you're at your TVs, ready to watch the PFL. Super excited for that card tomorrow. Like I said, Clarissa Shields, main event. Be at your television. Greatest women's boxer of all time coming over to MMA. Can't wait to see it. All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get into this card that happened here this past weekend. Really exciting 13-fight card. Had some ranked heavyweight bouts on it, man. So just from top to bottom, maybe looking at it before wasn't too stacked of a card, but we had a lot of really good future prospects that are here right now that were fighting last weekend. So let's go ahead and get into it. Couple of young prospects right here in the 155-pound lightweight division. It was Claudio Puelles taking on Jordan Levitt. Claudio Puelles, man, I kind of had a feeling there was going to be an upset. I didn't pull the trigger on it, but Claudio Puelles did an outstanding job. Jordan Levitt dominated the first round, and then he kind of just faded a little bit, and Puelles just looked fresh for the whole three rounds and really did some good work in that second and third round. He's the first person we've seen out-grapple Jordan Levitt, so Claudio Puelles, man, always looking for the stoppage, but you see now if he does have to go the full 15 minutes, he does have the gas tank to do that. So Claudio Puelles is now 10-2 overall, 3-1 in the UFC. He has earned two of his three UFC victories by decision now. On the other side, Jordan Levitt, the win streak ends at 8, suffers his first loss of his career. I'm sure the Monkey King will be back, though. Jordan Levitt, really exciting to watch, but Claudio Puelles looks like the prospect to watch coming out of this fight. Let's get into this next one. A little bit of controversy in this one. We had Yousef Zalal taking on the St. Louis sniper, Sean Woodson. And, it was kind of odd to see in the beginning of the fight, Yousef Zalal wasn't really shooting takedowns because I was expecting him to just be going takedown after takedown, just chaining them together against Sean Woodson. But he was striking with him and he was doing some good work. But in the end, Sean Woodson just was using a lot of activity, just started pulling away in the significant strikes. And it just seemed like he was doing a little bit more damage on Yousef Zalal throughout the fight. One judge did give it to Yousef Zalal, though. I don't have the scorecards up here. Give me one second. See, this is where I'd be like, here, Slim, talk about some stupid shit that doesn't matter. And he could just, like, babble his way through it. But it's tough podcasting by yourself, you guys. All right. The judges had it 29-28 for the winner, Sean Woodson. One judge had it 28-29 for Zalal. Me, personally, I had it for Sean Woodson, 2-0. I thought he did enough work to get the W in this one, and the two other judges saw it that way as well. So Sean Woodson gets the victory here, improves his record now to 8-1 overall. He's 2-1 in the UFC, and he's earned both of his UFC victories by decision. Yousef Zalal, on the other hand, now 10-5 overall, 3-3 in the UFC, on a 3-fight losing streak since coming in and just dominating competition. Started 3-0. Now he's 0-3, so he's kind of been on both sides of the coin. We'll see how he comes back in his next one. Definitely a really talented fighter, though. Like, Yousef Zalal is never going to be an easy fight. Also, all five of his career losses have came by decision. Let's go ahead and get into this next one. So, last week I said something that I was kind of like, you know, I might be hollering right here. You know, I might be talking out of my ass. I said Manon Fiorot could be a champion one day. I said that her ceiling is Valentina Shevchenko. After watching this, can you guys blame me now? That is two fights in a row where she has gotten a standing TKO. She did it to Victoria Leonardo and now Tabitha Ritchie. Now, granted, shout out to Tabitha Ritchie. She is tough as hell. Fighting a weight class up, I mean, Fiora was just so much bigger than her out there. And she honestly just didn't stand a chance. She could have started shooting for the takedowns on Fiora, but Fiora just looked so much bigger and stronger than her. And there was just so much distance between them. It would have honestly been really hard for her to even land a takedown. So, listen, you guys, I'm telling you right now, Manon Fiora, when it comes to female, you know what? No, just prospects in general, male or female, I think Manon Fiora is top three best prospects in the UFC right now. That's how far I'd go. I'm telling you guys, I think she has championship potential. I would not be surprised to see her just absolutely tear up the 125-pound rankings. I mean, if she didn't take any damage in this fight, if she wants to fight in a month or two, she can do that. And I wouldn't be surprised to see her just go on an absolute tear. And her versus Valentina Shevchenko, oh my gosh. Can you guys imagine that fight once Manon Fiora gets a little bit more experience, goes in there and takes on Valentina? Oh my gosh, that matchup would be unbelievable. If Fiora can start, like I said, work on that grappling, get it up to a good level, which she doesn't have to be like right now, because we haven't seen her grappling be tested, and it seems like she has really good takedown defense as well. It's just something we haven't even seen her get tested with, so it will be kind of something to look at if she is fighting a heavy grappler that's her size. Tabitha Ritchie was not her size. But yeah, I'm telling you guys right now, Manon Fiora, championship shot in late 2022 coming. Telling you guys right now. Calling it. Heard it here first. ANA MMA. So Manon Fiora is now 7-1 overall, 2-0 in the UFC. She's earned all six of her career stoppage victories by knockout, which includes both of her UFC wins. Her two knockout victories in the women's flyweight division are already second most in divisional history behind Valentina Shevchenko's three. That is wild. And then Tabitha Ritchie, 5-1 now, 0-1 in the UFC, started her career undefeated, took this fight on short notice. Shout out to her, just tough as nails. I would really, really like to see her go down to 115 and, you know, fight somebody down there. But, you know, when you get the call from the UFC, you got to take it. Also, Manon Fiora kind of looks like Drew Dover. Just saying. Just putting that out there. All right, let's go ahead and move on to this next one. In the 155-pound lightweight division, we had Alan Patrick coming in, taking on the young prospect, Mason Jones. Mason Jones goes out here putting on an absolute clinic against Alan Patrick. Patrick's just such a dangerous guy. Doesn't really chain combos together when he's punching, but he has that explosive, like, one punch, one kick knockout power. So Mason Jones does a good job not getting hit by those big strikes, ends up taking Patrick down at the end of the first, just battering him. Comes out in the second, a lot of the same, just battering Alan Patrick. So finally, Patrick does a good job. They stand up. Patrick's kind of on his back foot, moving away from Mason Jones. Mason Jones inadvertently sticks his finger out, pokes Alan Patrick, and you know what? Alan Patrick, being the veteran that he is, knew he was getting absolutely dominated in that fight, knew he didn't have a chance in that fight, and if you can take a no contest on your record over a loss, do it. It might not be the most honorable thing to do, but you got to look out for yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's a selfish sport. Alan Patrick did the right thing, in my opinion. Took the eye poke. Took the no contest. So be it. So these guys' records stay the same. Alan Patrick, 15-3 overall. Mason Jones, now 10-1. Mason Jones got to get right back out there, though. Man, I'm telling you guys, this kid, after that first fight you saw against him with Mike Davis, we know how good Mike Davis is, and just the performance those guys put on, and then he comes out here and does that to Alan Patrick. Mason Jones, man, I'm telling you guys, this he's a young fighter. He's 26, I believe. This kid could be something one day. All right, sorry, you guys. Slight dog interference. We're back here, though. All right. So, yeah, like I was saying, Mason Jones, sky's the limit for this kid. Let's move on to this next one. Honestly, didn't see this one coming. This guy might be a problem. Kamwela Kirk taking on Makwan Amirkhani. I thought Makwan Amirkhani was just going to do what he does, throw the power shots, throw the flying knees, use the takedowns. Well, he did. He had some really good takedowns. Took Kamwela Kirk up top at one point, but Kirk stayed in the fight, has a really good guard. In the end, when he got on top, was working Amirkhani. Amirkhani couldn't get out from under him. And Kamwela Kirk, man, this guy is, I'm telling you, he's dangerous. This guy, if he stays on the path he's on right now, I mean, that was a huge win over Amirkhani. That's a guy who, you know, on his best day, could probably put it together a streak and get in the top 15. Kamwela Kirk just went out there and won two rounds handily against him. Remember, he also made a guy quit in the middle of his last fight before this one. I mean, yo, since we saw this guy on the Contender Series, other than that split decision loss he had after that Contender Series fight, yo, this guy, man, Kamwela Kirk is fun to watch. The Jawaian. Keep him on your radar. He's 12-4 overall now, 1-0 in the UFC. He earned the first decision victory of his career. That's wild. 16 career fights, that was the first time he's won by decision. Makwan Amirkhani is now 16-6 overall, 6-4 in the UFC. Consecutive losses for just the first time in his career. He hasn't won since July of last year, so it's been exactly a year since Makwan Amirkhani has gotten a win in the octagon. He's 1-3 in his last four fights as well, and four of his six career losses have been by decision. Let's get into this next one. In the 170-pound division, it was the debut of Nassandaruba, Francisco Trinaldo, as he took on the King of Kung Fu, Muslim Salikov, and predominantly a striking bout here. Trinaldo kind of started going for some takedowns towards the end, but Salikov, man, just did enough to get the win in this one. Just outstruck Trinaldo in pretty much every aspect of the fight, and took this one pretty handily. Won every round in my book and with all the judges as well. So Muslim Salikov defeats Francisco Trinaldo via unanimous decision, 30-27, 30-27, 30-27. We look at, their records here. Muslim Salikov improves his record overall now to 18-2. He's 5-1 in the UFC on a 5-fight winning streak at welterweight. That is tied for the second longest active streak in the division right now, behind Kamaru Usman's 14. Wow. Francisco Trinaldo, 26-8 overall, 16-7 in the UFC, unsuccessful in that UFC welterweight debut. But I gotta say, he did look good at 170. Not cutting weight probably feels really good for him, especially being 42 years old now. He's 42. So yeah, not cutting as much weight for Trinaldo, really big advantage for him, and he didn't look undersized whatsoever at welterweight. So can put those, little problems to bed. I don't think they're there. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one. The featured preliminary card bout in heavyweight. Another one that I'm just really mad I didn't pick because I was so torn on this one. Ilir Latifi taking on Tanner Boser. So I figured this fight would probably go one of two ways. Either Tanner Boser, like I told you guys last week, Tanner Boser might stuff the first one or two takedowns and then just start piecing Ilir Latifi up on the feet. Or Latifi's going to land those takedowns and just use his wrestling the entire time. Well, Tanner Boser did a good job stopping those takedowns for a minute, but Latifi did just pretty much spend two rounds on top of Tanner Boser. And I know a lot of people did have it for Boser, but I actually had my scorecard 29-28 like the other two judges for Latifi. I know he didn't exactly do much with the takedowns, but he kept the control the entire time. It's on Tanner Boser to get up or at least do the work from the bottom with elbows or, going for submissions, and he just didn't. He kind of accepted the position, and Latifi had the control time. And hey, that's a way to win the fight. Not the most interesting or entertaining way to win a fight, but you know what you're getting from Ilir Latifi. He's going to go out there, he's going to wrestle you, and he's going to use top control as long as he can in the fight. So Ilir Latifi defeats Tanner Boser via split decision, 29-28, 29-28. One judge did have it 29-27 in favor of Boser. Ilir Latifi's now 15-8 overall, 8-6 in the UFC, snapped his three-fight losing streak for his first win since February of 2018. That's a long time in between wins, so good for Latifi getting that first win in the UFC heavyweight division as well. He just went to heavyweight back in February of 2020 when he took on Derek Lewis, so glad he took this fight and got the win. Tanner Boser, 19-8-1 overall, 3-3 in the UFC, and 7 of his 8 career losses have came by decision, which includes all 3 of his UFC losses. But both these guys kind of, you know, those like hovering outside the top like 15 of the division. Tanner Boser, I believe, was ranked at one point, so yeah, we'll see if Latifi can maybe chain together another win. He's probably right there in that top 15. But that was your preliminary card. You guys could have checked that out on ESPN Plus. But now we move to the six fight main card. Man, this card did not disappoint. Starting in the women's flyweight division, me and Slim's only disagreement of the night, it was Montana De La Rosa taking on Ariane Lipsky. If you remember, I took Montana De La Rosa. Slim went with Ariane Lipsky. I just felt like Montana De La Rosa had the better skill set in this fight. Obviously, Ariane Lipsky is like that dangerous fighter that can either knock you out or put you in some submissions early in the fight. But I just figured Montana De La Rosa would just use those skills to win over 3 rounds. Was not expecting the TKO. Montana De La Rosa just using top control and landing some hellish elbows. Cut Ariane Lipsky open. And then just started landing some really good ground and pound. Got some good punches in there. The ref called it. Montana De La Rosa, man. I don't know, you guys. She's been like looking really good lately. Ranked number 15 now. Of course, she had that draw against Mayra Buena Silva, and then she lost to Viviane Araújo. But listen, I'm telling you guys, Montana De La Rosa, when she has her good days, she is one tough fighter to beat. Very well-rounded. Her wrestling's some of the best in the division, and she has submissions as well. And then she goes and shows she's got the ground and pound to go along with all that. Montana De La Rosa, now 12-6-1 overall, 5-2-1 in the UFC. That was just the first knockout victory of her entire career. Also, her 4 stoppage victories in the women's flyweight division are tied with Valentina Shevchenko for 2nd most in divisional history, only behind Jillian Robertson's 5. And then Ariane Lipsky, 13-7 overall, 2-4 in the UFC. She's earned all of her career stoppage losses by knockout, which is 3 stoppage losses. Let's go ahead and get into this next one. In the middleweight division, ooh, man, there was just like 4 fights on this card that I'm pissed I didn't go with my gut feeling. Gregory Rodriguez taking on Dusko Todorovic. I told you guys last week, Dusko Todorovic just probably like top 5 worst defensive strikers in the UFC. Gregory Rodriguez went out there and showed exactly why. Gregory Rodriguez was an LFA champion at middleweight. I can't tell you guys enough how much like being an LFA champion means when you're coming to the UFC. And Gregory Rodriguez, I know he didn't have the best outing in his contender series fight against Jordan Williams, but Gregory Rodriguez, man, this guy's going to be a serious threat at 185 because really good punches, really powerful punches, can do some good work in the clinch. And then he came here as a Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach from Brazil, so like, you know, the ground game's on point as well. Gregory Rodriguez could be a serious problem at 185. And then Dusko Todorovic, you know, just a lot of improvements need to be made by this kid. He's by no means a bad fighter whatsoever. He's very, very talented. One punch knockout power, really unorthodox punching. He's only 27 years old, all right? He's got a lot of time to develop, but just a couple holes in his game that he has to work on. But I do think this kid can come back strong. I'm expecting him to come back strong. I'm interested to see who both these guys get matched up with next as well. Gregory Rodriguez defeats Dusko Todorovic via unanimous decision. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. Let's go ahead and look at their records here. Gregory Rodriguez, now 10-3 overall, 1-0 in the UFC. He earned his second victory in just 14 days. He won that LFA championship on May 21st. Super impressive stuff by Gregory Rodriguez. Dusko Todorovic, now 10-2 overall, 1-2 in the UFC, consecutive losses after starting his career 10-0. And that was the first decision loss of his career as well. Let's move on to this next one. Fight of the night, possible fight of the year, man. That third round was just absolutely fireworks. This fight was so good to watch. I was expecting if Miguel Baeza was going to do it, he was going to go out there early, get the knockout. But we know Santiago Ponzinibbio is such a seasoned veteran. He's been in there with the best of the best. So first round, definitely gave it to Baeza. Next two rounds, man, Santiago Ponzinibbio made the adjustments after that first round and just put on a hell of a performance in rounds two and three. Took Baeza into those deep waters that Baeza's never even had to be in, and just kind of showed Baeza, you know, there's a little bit of a different level to this kid, and you're not on it just yet. But I'm telling you guys, Miguel Baeza, this dude, like, wherever the fight goes, he is ready for it, and he might not be top 15 ready just yet because 170 is such a stacked division, but Miguel Baeza is going to be a top 15, probably a top 5 fighter at one point or another in his career. I'm telling you guys that right now. Santiago Ponzinibbio defeats Miguel Baeza via unanimous decision. The judges had it 29-28, 29-28, 29-28, all across the board. Ponzinibbio now 28-4 overall, 10-3 in the UFC. He earned his first victory since November of 2018. A long time coming for Santiago Ponzinibbio. And then Miguel Baeza, now 10-1 overall, 3-1 in the UFC. He was on a 10-fight winning streak there, of course, to start his career, and just got snapped. So two undefeated. Let me make sure it's two. Two undefeated Dana White's Contender Series contestants got knocked off in this one, got their zeros taken from them. Let's go ahead and get into this next fight, which was the we had one more before the co-main event. It was Roman Dolize taking on Lariano Staropoli in the 185-pound middleweight division. And Roman Dolize just does what Roman Dolize does. He's going to go out there and he's going to out-grapple you. That was just the story of this fight. Staropoli just wasn't able to get Dolize off him, and Dolize just used pressure up against the fence pretty much all three rounds, and pretty cut and dry victory here for Dolize. The judges had the scorecards 30-27s all across the board. Dolize now 9-1 overall, 3-1 in the UFC, 1-1 since he went down to the middleweight division back in March of last year. Lariano Staropoli now 9-4 overall, 2-3 in the UFC. He's on a 3-fight losing streak, hasn't won since May of 2019, and all three of Staropoli's UFC losses have came by decision. Now let's get into that co-main event. It was a heavyweight bout between Marcin Tybura as he took on Walt Harris. And oh my gosh, if you want to ever see a stereotypical Walt Harris fight, this was it. Goes out there, throwing hands, throwing quick, straight punches. Looks like Tybura's in a lot of trouble. Tybura gets the takedown. Fight's over. I was watching it with a bunch of people, and when Walt Harris was landing all those punches on Tybura, everybody's like, it's over, it's over. As soon as Marcin Tybura got his takedown, I was like, yeah, now it's over. Marcin Tybura just ground and pounded Walt Harris. Walt Harris ended up getting flattened out on his stomach, and Just nothing he could do in this one. Walt Harris, oh, if he could just get a little bit of takedown defense, man, he would be so good. But, yep, wasn't his day here. Marcin Tybura defeats Walt Harris via TKO due to ground and pound, 4 minutes and 6 seconds into the very first round. Let's get into the records here. Marcin Tybura now 22-6 overall, 9-5 in the UFC. He's on a 5-fight winning streak at heavyweight, which is tied with Ciryl Gane and the champ Francis Ngannou for the longest active streaks in the division. Tybura has earned 15 of his 22 career victories by stoppage, and he has earned all 4 of his UFC stoppage victories by knockout. Walt Harris, on the other hand, now 13-10 overall, 6-9 in the UFC. He's on a 3-fight losing streak now, longest of his career. He hasn't won since July of 2019. Harris is now 6-7 with 1 no contest since he came back to the UFC for a second stint back in 2016. And Walt Harris has 5 of his 7 career stoppage losses coming by way of knockout. Also, Marcin Tybura, performance of the night bonus. Good for him. Also forgot to mention Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Miguel Baeza. Both them got $50,000 for their fight of the night. And rightfully so. That is probably going to be an ANA or an ANAME fight of the year contestant. That's how good that one was. All right, let's get into this main event, though. Whew. Jairzinho Rozenstruik might need to change his name to Buzzer Beater, because this guy, when it comes to like last second knockouts, he's the king of them. I know this one was just in the first round, but 4 minutes and 59 seconds into the first round, after, you know, there wasn't too much going on throughout the entire first round, Jairzinho hears that clack, clack, clack and decides time to start swinging those things. Catches Augusto Sakai right on the side of his head with a right hand, puts Sakai down. Looked like Sakai was okay for a second, but then Rozenstruik landed a big punch when he was coming down. And it did look like Sakai went limp. A lot of people were saying it was a bad stoppage. I didn't think so at all. I thought it was a good stoppage. I thought Sakai was out for at least a second. So Jairzinho Rozenstruik right back in that title contention, man. Like, strings together another 2 wins. I mean, he's right there in the title shot. As for Augusto Sakai, I can't say I didn't see this one coming. It was a hard one to pick coming in, but just looking at it, like, Sakai, 2 of his UFC wins have been by split decision, and, like, I don't know. I just don't know how he was going to get that one done over the 5 rounds. I just felt like Rozenstruik was going, if he stayed aggressive, was going to catch him at some point, and it happened to just be in the first round. So Jairzinho Rozenstruik defeats Augusto Sakai via knockout due to punches, 4 minutes and 59 seconds into the first round. Jairzinho Rozenstruik now 12-2 overall. Don't got his UFC record. And then Augusto Sakai now 15-3 overall. Don't got his UFC record either. But couple of stats here for you guys. Rozenstruik has earned 11 of his 12 career victories by stoppage, all of those being by knockout. He has earned all 6 of his UFC victories by knockout. Augusto Sakai, on the other hand, consecutive losses for the first time in his career. He hasn't won since back in May of 2020. And Sakai has both of his career stoppage losses coming by way of knockout. All right, you guys, that was UFC Fight Night 189. If you were following on Twitter, my apologies. I was in a cornhole tournament, ended up getting a little bit drunky, and just didn't do my Twitter thing. So my apologies. I will be back tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday, though. So you guys got a full plethora of just Monty A&A MMA Twitter coverage coming your way. Also, while we're on the subject of UFC, before I get into these previews for these other cards, I just want to say yesterday was the second episode of The Ultimate Fighter. Don't want to... spoiler alert. If you haven't listened to The Ultimate Fighter, skip like 2 minutes ahead. Ultimate Fighter's episode 2 came out yesterday. It was number one overall pick, Mitch Raposo coming in with a 5-0 record, taking on Ludvik Shalinian, the Armenian-Ukrainian four-time national champion wrestler, and Shalinian coming in with a record of 9-1-1. So Ortega chose Shalinian because he is, I believe, the most experienced fighter in the entire competition. I think there's one guy that has more fights than him, but Shalinian, a lot of experience coming in, and Mitch Raposo at only 5-0, they decided to send Shalinian out there. So first round, Raposo does a really good job just outstriking Shalinian on, I mean, Raposo's hands are stupid, bro. The way he throws his left hook to the body, just absolutely beautiful. But second round, Shalinian comes out, makes the adjustments, starts getting some takedowns, and that's when the momentum started shifting. After that, it was the first third round of the season, and Shalinian did a lot of what he did in the second round, just good grappling, using position to beat Mitch Raposo, and the number one overall pick in this entire shindig is out of the competition. Unbelievable stuff, man. You love the drama from The Ultimate Fighter. Fun season so far. Next week, it's Ryder Newman as he takes on, Brian Battle, is that who he fights? 1 second. Let me find it for you guys. Bad hype job, I know. I tried. Oh, it's Trayshawn Gore. Sorry. All right. Next week's matchup at middleweight, Ryder Newman coming in with a 3-1 record. This guy, I believe he wrestled in the Olympic trials, so that just shows you how good he is. And then taking on the unbeaten, untested, only 3-0, Trayshawn Gore. Going to be a fun one next week. So make sure you guys tune in for episode 3 of The Ultimate Fighter next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. All right. Let's go ahead and get into these cards we got this weekend, you guys. This week. Starting with tomorrow's PFL card. Man, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. It's gonna be a tough one to call, honestly. There's some tricky fights in this one, so bear with me and Slim on our picks this week. But oh yeah, speaking of me and Slim and picks, that little piece of shit talking all that shit earlier this year. Oh, I got the lead. Blah 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 blah. Shut your dumb ass up, Slim. Look at me now. I'm up one, boy. Comeback season. Hey, I'm 122-92-2. Slim's 121-93-2. And I got the one up in the main events. Come on, Slim. You are not messing with me. You are not messing with me. Also, PFL, let's update you guys on that one because I'm winning that one as well. Up one on him. Just up one everywhere on Slim. Dude's fucked. Dude is just fucked. All right. Let's get into this card. I'm excited for it. 9 fights for you guys in the PFL coming up tomorrow. That's Thursday, starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. Let's get into this first fight of the night. It's 2-time runner-up Chris Wade, 18-6, taking on Arman Ospinov, who I believe is making his return to the PFL. Oh, no, this is actually his PFL debut. I apologize. Coming off a win in his last fight, though, over Rasul Mirzayev. Kind of an interesting record here. He fought Thiago Silva back in 2017, lost to him via choke. That was his first career loss. And then he fought this guy that he beat earlier in his career, Alexei Pulpadud. Oh, my gosh, this dude's last name. Pulpudnikov. There we go. Pulpudnikov. Beat him by split decision. They ran it back a third time. And Pulpudnikov ended up getting the knockout. So two of his career losses have came to the same guy. But Arman Ospinov, an outstanding striker. This guy, powerful punches, good head kicks. He's got a win by flying knee. Just dangerous anywhere the fight goes, but especially with his striking. And that makes this one such a tough call to fight, because usually you know what you're going to get out of Chris Wade. He's going to come out here, he's going to wrestle you, he's going to use some good striking. But yeah, man, this one's just a really tough fight to call. Let me get Slim's picks pulled up here. Also, the odds right now, Chris Wade is the minus 125 favorite over the plus 100 Arman Aspinov. All right. So Slim's going with Arman Aspinov. I, on the other hand, am going to go with Chris Wade. So we got a disagreement to start off the night. I'm going with Chris Wade. Slim has the newcomer, Arman Aspinov. And I believe that is for that is for points. I know Arman Aspinov didn't fight in the first half of the season, but he's here and he could possibly make it with 6 points. So we'll see. Staying in the 145-pound featherweight division, it's a fight that just got put together today. Shaman Marais taking on another newcomer. Let me double check on that one as well. Jesse Stern. Yep, Jesse Stern making his debut here in the PFL. So two guys trying to get their get some points on the board despite only being, you know, having half the season to do their work. So kind of interesting there. You know they're going to be gunning for a first round stoppage. But Shaman Marais, the former UFC veteran, 11-5 overall, taking on the 11-4 Jesse Stern. Shaman Marais, you know this guy, just very dangerous with his punches, man. Super powerful, just an explosive striker, but leaves a little bit to be desired with his defensive striking. We've seen him get caught before. Just his last time out, it was an absolute beatdown that he received by the hands of Brendan Loughnane. But he's lost 3 in a row now. Just been struggling as of late for Shaman Marais. We'll see if he can get back on track here against Jesse Stern. The last time Stern fought was against Reginald Adams in CFFC. He fought Pat Sabatini, who's in the UFC now, lost to him, and then before that he had 2 split decision victories. So honestly, I think this is a pretty good way for Shaman Marais to get back on track, kind of putting it lightly. Also, right now, Jesse Stern has -1 point for total points. He's going to really need a stoppage. He missed weight today. So he's going to really, actually, he can't even get points. So Jesse Stern, he's out of it. This is this is only for Shaman Marais to get points here. And then Aspinov, he's sitting at 0 right now. He needs to come in and get a stoppage as well, like I said. So let's go ahead. Our pick. Me and Slim both going with Shaman Marais in this one. You can get Shaman Marais for his money line at, they do not have those odds right now, because they literally just rebooked that fight today. So would imagine Shaman Marais is going to be the favorite, though. Probably somewhere around the minus 200 range, I'd estimate. So let's get into this next one in the lightweight division. This is going to be a pretty interesting fight. It's 2019's 155 runner-up, Loic Radzabov, taking on Ahmed Aliyev. Aliyev coming in with a 20-6 record. This guy is dangerous. Super good wrestling. He fights out of Eagles MMA, so you know he's got that wrestling pedigree. Won his last time out against the dancer, Mikhail Odintsov, where he just dominated the entire fight. And then he did take on Natan Schultz back in PFL 2019, and he got put in an arm triangle. Lost to Chris Wade. So he's only lost to, like, the top fighters in PFL. But he does have other good wins over Diego Brandao, Efrain Escudero. So this guy's been fighting good fighters his entire career, and just a dominant grappler. But will Loic Radzabov be able to pull off another like miracle that he did, like back in 2019? Lost his first time out, and it was a split decision. I did think Alex Martinez won that one, but Loic Radzabov, nonetheless, has to get the win here. He's going to come out gunning, and he's just a really dangerous fighter. I mean, most of his recent wins have came by decision, but a lot of his earlier ones, knockouts, north-south choke, rear naked choke, broke a guy's jaw, anaconda choke. Like, he does have those unorthodox submissions. So Loic Radzabov, the Jaguar Paw, be expecting him to come out tomorrow just looking for the stoppage as early as he possibly can. Even if he has to empty that tank in the first round, he's got to do it. I think that plays into Aliyev's advantage, though. I think he just ends up using a lot of grappling in this one and gets himself a victory. Another disagreement here by A&A MMA. I'm going with Ahmed Aliyev. Slim going with Loic Radzibov. Right now, you can get Ahmed Aliyev at minus 215 over the plus 165 underdog, Loic Radzibov. All right, let's go ahead and move on. Staying in the 155-pound lightweight division. Ooh, I don't know. This is probably like my third fight I'm most excited for right here. Marcin Held, the Polish fighter, coming in 29 years old, 5'9". Just been tearing it up as of late, man. This dude is so dangerous. He's won his last five fights against Natan Schultz, Diego Brandao, Musa Kamanayev, Callan Potter, who, of course, made a UFC stint, and Nasrat Haqparast, which was in the UFC. This dude has been beating top competition, not like elite competition, but like top, like UFC caliber type guys for the last five fights. I mean, this dude has, he's in his prime right now. He is 29 years old. He fought Michael Chandler when he was like 21. Like, this guy got thrown to the fire when he was young. And now look at him. Like, he seems like nothing phases him. And he's just ready for whatever is thrown at him. Like, that win over Natan Schultz in the last fight was just, oh my gosh, dude, dominant. And we haven't seen anybody do Natan Schultz like that, especially in the PFL. Like, Schultz has been dominant in the PFL, and Marcin Held came out here and just paid no attention to that at all. But he has a tough one here in the 11-5 Canadian former UFC fighter as well, Olivier Aubin-Mercier. Now, the Canadian gangster hasn't been looking too good as of late. He's lost his last three fights, but listen, that was against Armand Saryukin, who's like the future of that division, Gilbert Burns, who just fought for a title recently, and Alexander Hernandez, who we know is a top 15 caliber guy. Other than that, he has quality wins over Evan Dunham, Anthony Rocco Martin, Drew Dober, Thibaut Gauthier. Like, he's fought in the UFC, or he did fight in the UFC for a long time. I mean, he grew up in the UFC. He came in when he was just 3-0, so Aubin-Mercier, a really good grappler, but so is Marcin Held. Marcin Held's like the king of leg locks in MMA, so the 27-7 Held against the 11-5 Aubin-Mercier, me and Slim both going with Marcin Held. Marcin Held is the minus 150 favorite over the plus 120 Olivier Aubin-Mercier. Marcin Held right now currently sitting in fourth place for total points, so he's going to have to get probably at least another three if he wants to solidify a spot in the playoffs. So does Aliyev too. Just talked about him. He's got 3 points. He needs a win big time here. Let's go ahead and move on to this next scrap. Speaking of Natan Schultz, he's back taking on Alex Martinez. This one was just thrown together recently. Schultz, the two-time champion for 155 pounds in the PFL, lost, like I said, last time out, Marcin Held, but before that was on a 10-fight unbeaten streak, I believe it, or 9-fight unbeaten streak. Okay, yeah, it was a 10-fight unbeaten streak. This guy was absolutely tearing it up. Hadn't lost since 2017, I'm sorry, and then just went on that streak. Now, last time out, Marcin Held put on a absolute clinic, but wins over Loic Radzibov, Ahmed Aliyev, Ramzy Nijem, Jesse Ronson. I mean, you know, those are really, really good quality wins. Rashid Magomedov, Chris Wade, Natan Schultz, man, when he's on his game, obviously one of the top PFL fighters, and I mean, this guy, just something to watch. He will be taking on probably like the best prospect PFL has right now, Alex Martinez, coming in 8-0. Really surprised me his first time out. I was not expecting him to go out there and beat Loic Radzibov. Did it impressively. This guy just knockouts all over the place, rear naked chokes, guillotines, always arm bars, always going for the stoppages. Dude's a fun fighter to watch, and I think he can really hold his own here in the PFL. Right now, he's sitting in third place. Alexander Martinez, man, if he can pull off this upset here at 155, another upset, he's in the playoffs. And, man, if this kid makes it to the playoffs, I'm telling you right now, I'm cheering for him. Like, one of the least experienced fighters in all the PFL, but definitely one of the brightest prospects. But as for the pick, it's Natan Schultz. Me and Slim both going with him. Just think he's got all the more, all the better tools. He's just fought a lot better competition throughout his career. So I'm taking Natan Schultz in this one. So is Slim. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one. In the 145-pound featherweight division, the sole first-place fighter, Brendan Loughnane, with his 6 points, taking on Tyler Diamond, who last time out, man, one of the most impressive performances and one of the funnest fights against Sung Bin Jo. This dude, only loss so far in his career came to Bryce Mitchell back in the Ultimate Fighter 27 finale, but Tyler Diamond, dude, just skills wherever. Great striking, good wrestling. This kid's fun to watch. Brendan Loughnane, though, man, this dude is the entire package deal. This is his to lose. I'm telling you guys right now, this entire thing is his to lose at featherweight. That's how good this kid is. UFC really missed out on a good guy when he beat Bill Algeo back in 2019 on the Contender Series. Since then, man, 3-0 so far in the PFL, and nobody's even challenged him. Just knocked out Shaman Marais in about 2 minutes last time out. This kid's an absolute just stud. I'm telling you guys right now, he's the favorite to win this entire thing. He's a minus 305 favorite over Tyler Diamond. Might be a little bit high for my liking on the betting side, but yeah, this one's Loughnane. Me and Slim both going with him. All right, speaking of PFL debuts, we haven't seen this guy in a while. It's Bobby Moffitt coming over from the UFC, coming off two losses. He will be taking on, I lost it right here, Bubba Jenkins, who big upset his last time out. You remember Bubba Jenkins and Lance Palmer had a big wrestling rivalry where Lance Palmer, I believe, beat Bubba Jenkins. Or maybe I got that backwards, 3-1. Finally took on each other here in PFL, and Bubba Jenkins became the first man in the PFL to beat Lance Palmer. Bubba Jenkins, his wrestling gives anybody a problem, but Bobby Moffitt is a game grappler himself. It's just going to be kind of tough for Moffitt, though. I don't see where he's going to be able to kind of win this fight. He does have good hands. He's going to have to keep this one standing as much as he can. But, I think Bubba Jenkins holds his own with the striking as well. So we'll see how that one goes. Bubba Jenkins currently sitting as a minus 280 favorite over the plus 215. Bobby Moffitt, A&A, MMA, both going with Bubba Jenkins to defeat Bobby Moffitt. I don't think I gave their records either. Bubba Jenkins, 15-4 overall. Bobby Moffitt, 13-5. All right, let's go ahead and move on to this next one, the co-main event of the evening. Coming off just that outstanding performance, probably performance of the season, Clay Collard, when he defeated Anthony Pettis, coming in with his record of 19-8. The 28-year-old, did some really impressive things in the boxing ring where he beat some undefeated guys. And then, last time out against Anthony Pettis just showed why he's such a dangerous fighter. Makes it 3 in a row for him in his MMA fights. Is Clay Collard in his fighting prime right now? Could possibly be. Only 28 years old. And I mean, if you look like that against Anthony Pettis, which I don't care what you say about Anthony Pettis, not many people are able to do him like Clay Collard did him his last time out. Yeah, man, this guy, Clay Collard, is really hitting his stride as a fighter. But he's taking on Pellegrino Joelton Lutterbach, 34-9 overall, also 28 years old. The Brazilian lost his last time out via a split decision to Roush Manfio. If he would have won that one, he'd be 5-0 in his last five, but 4-1. He also fought Dricus du Plessis and lost to him via KO. Was on a huge win streak before that as well. So kind of loses fights like few and far between. He'll go on like a 10 fight, 7 fights, 4 fight win streak, and then lose. Haven't seen him lose 2 in a row for a while now. It's been since 2016 where he lost 2 in a row. Can he go out here and use his jiu-jitsu against Clay Collard and get the win? Yeah, absolutely. Do I think that's what's going to happen, though? Probably not. Like I said, I think Clay Collard's in his prime right now. I think this one's his to lose. Slim agreeing with me. We're both going with Clay Collard to defeat Joelton Lutterbach. That takes us to the main event of the evening. This is the one you guys have to watch. The women's boxing GOAT coming over to the PFL to try her hand at MMA. You know, you see the MMA guys going to boxing a lot now. Clarissa Shields showing that she's the real one. She's the boxer coming over into MMA. Everybody knows that's why boxers don't come into MMA. Look what happened to James Toney. It's just proven and it's known. Boxers don't typically do well when they come over to MMA. If there's one fighter who can stop that stigma, it's Clarissa Shields. This woman, multiple-time, multi-weight boxing champion, making her debut against Brittany Elkin, 3-6 overall. Elkin, a tall fighter, she's 5'11", been doing a lot of grappling bouts lately. She hasn't fought an MMA fight since back in 2019, and she also was Kayla Harrison's first fight of her career. The best win on Brittany Elkin's record here is Gabrielle Holloway, but other than that, hasn't had too much success so far in her UFC career. But I can tell you, she's 3-2 in her last 5, well, 4-2 in her last 6 grappling bouts. So I think her path to victory is pretty clear. She's been doing all these grappling bouts, all these submission, you know, tournaments. Get Clarissa Shields on the ground, because don't even throw a strike. Don't even do it. Don't even think about it. Just go in there and spam takedown after takedown after takedown as much as you possibly can until you get one. Do not throw a punch with Clarissa Shields, or you will go night-night, Brittany Elkin. I'm telling you. I'm giving you the best advice that I can possibly give. If you're listening, get this fight to the ground. Because if Clarissa Shields can keep this one standing, oh no, it's going to be a massacre. And that's why A&A, MMA, both going with Clarissa Shields to defeat Brittany Elkin. Clarissa Shields right now, the minus 335 favorite to defeat the plus 235 Brittany Elkin. That's PFL number 4 for the season. Make sure you guys go check that out starting at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Shout out to the sponsor, PFL. We appreciate you. Send me a hoodie. Let's go ahead and move on to Bellator. 260 going on this weekend. 11 fight card. I'm going to kind of just skim through this one because they don't pay me as much as PFL, so bear with me here. Let's go ahead and get into the first fight of the night. A fighter that I really like here, Alex Polizzi, 7-1, taking on Gustavo Trujillo. Polizzi, with that 7-1 record, the American, let me get his tail of the tape here, 29, 6 feet tall, last time out, lost to Julius Anglicus, and that was just like, I think, November of last year or something like that. But before that, had a really good win over Rafael Carvalho. That was his first Bellator fight, and he won an LFA championship before. So just shows you guys this kid's talent. He was undefeated as a amateur as well. So, you know, that 7-1 record, and Anglicus, who's a ranked Bellator fighter, as laughable as the Bellator rankings are, a tough fight. So Alex Polizzi coming in, taking on Gustavo Trujillo. Trujillo, the Cuban, coming in with a record of 3-1. He's won his last 2 fights in a row, and this guy also fought 2 bare-knuckle fights, and he won both of them by knockout. So just shows, really dangerous striker, man. Watch out for this guy. And his only loss is by split decision. So we got odds on this, or what's going on here? Alex Polizzi, the minus 280 favorite over the plus 210 Gustavo Trujillo. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one. This is going to be exciting. In the women's 145-pound division, it's Amanda Bell, the American, coming in with a record of 7-7, taking on Marina Mokhnatkina. And Marina Mokhnatkina, 8-time Sambo world champion. This chick is dangerous. Will she be able to beat the very experienced Amanda Bell, though? I mean, Amanda Bell, 32 years old, 5'8". She's been fighting some of the better fighters for a long time now. She lost to Leslie Smith her last time out, beat Janae Harding, lost to Arlene Blenkow. She also beat Gabrielle Holloway, Brittany Elkin. So, you know, she actually beat Brittany Elkin twice. Interesting. But Amanda Bell, the lady killer, definitely a dangerous fighter. But I think Marina Mokhnatkina coming in, making her this is her second fight in the Bellator circle, I think it is. Lost her first time out against Janae Harding. Will she be able to beat Amanda Bell? She's going to have to really go back to that Sambo background, use those arm bars that, you know, got her to this point in Fight Nights Global. She's won by Achilles lock, knee bar. So she has those dangerous submissions, but when she gets taken into like the deeper rounds, she does have a tendency to gas. So right now, Amanda Bell sitting as the -121 favorite over Marina Mokhnatkina in this one. A&A MMA going with Marina Mokhnatkina, though. We're going with the underdog. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one. Staying in the featherweight division, but for the men, it's the unbeaten Lucas Brennan coming in with a record of 4-0, taking on Matthew Skibicki. Skibicki, 4-3 overall. Making his Bellator debut. He's lost his last three times out, going against the unbeaten Brennan, who's fought in Bellator his entire career since his first fight. So this guy's 4-0 in the Bellator cage. Kind of seems like they're trying to build Lucas Brennan up, giving him a very winnable fight here in this one. So Lucas Brennan currently sitting as the -1,000 favorite over the +575 Matthew Skibicki. A&A MMA going with Lucas Brennan, the big favorite in this one. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one in the 155-pound division. It's everybody's favorite one-armed fighter, Nick Newell, coming in with a 16-3 record, taking on Bobby King, 9-3. Nick Newell, you know, when you look at him, you think like, wow, this guy has half an arm. How does he do what he does? It's inexplainable. Nick Newell is just a freak of nature, unbelievable grappling. When he gets you up against the cage, you're in big trouble. He does what he does. He imposes his will on people. Nick Newell, absolutely outstanding grappler. Taking on Bobby King, 37 years old, 5'9". Won his last time out against Steven Seiler. That's a good win. He's actually won his last three fights in a row, but hasn't, you know, taken on the best competition throughout his career. His last three fights have definitely been like the toughest fights he's had so far, and he's won them, so that's a good sign for Bobby King. Kind of seems like he's coming to his own. But like I said, he is 37 years old. Nick Newell at 16-3, 35 years old. I'm going with the notorious one in here. A&A MMA picking Nick Newell, who is the -162 favorite over the +128. Bobby King, I'm going to put a bet on that fight tomorrow. Let's go ahead and move on to this next one. It's our boy. Me and Slim rocking with him. Taiwan Claxton taking on the undefeated 11-0 Justin Gonzalez, starting with Taiwan Claxton, 28 years old, 5'8", the Ohio University alum, lost his last time out in a split decision against the undefeated J.J. Wilson, but making his comeback here. His only other loss was to Emmanuel Sanchez. Other than that, been so far so good for him in the Bellator cage, coming in with a 6-2 record. He's one of those guys who's fought his entire career in Bellator. His opponent, though, Justin Gonzalez, yeah, this guy might be a prospect to watch. J-Train, 30 years old, 5'10", fighting out of Colorado. As you can see from the record, sky's unbeaten. Nobody's been able to take him out. Just won an LFA championship his last time out against the formerly undefeated Jake Childers. Beat Zach Zane, Bruno Fajeya. I mean, this guy's got some really good wins on his record, man. Watch out for this guy. I mean, this dude's a very live underdog in this one. He's never lost a fight, even in his amateur career. He was 8-0. So, yo, I don't know, man. If this dude wins this one over Taiwan Claxton, I might not doubt Justin Gonzalez in a fight ever again. But Taiwan Claxton, the minus 125 favorite here, we're going with him over the plus 100, Justin Gonzalez. Let's go ahead and move on to this next fight in the 170-pound division. This is your featured preliminary card bout. It's Kyle Krutchmer coming in with a 6-1 record, taking on Levan Chokeli, the Georgian fighter. Kyle Krutchmer coming in with his record of 6-1, 28 years old, 5'8", of course, wrestled at Oklahoma State University, lost his last time out against the guy I'm picking to win the 185-pound division for the Ultimate Fighter Season 29. His only career loss to Kemron Lachinov, that was back late last year. He will be taking on Levan Chokeli, coming in 24 years old, 6'1", the Georgian, undefeated so far. His last fight ended in a no contest, but yeah, other than that, undefeated so far. So let's see what he's got in store. Has not fought but just one fighter with a winning record. There's a result that's unknown, so I can't speak on that fight, but he's only beaten one guy with a winning record. So you never like to see that, but you got to build him up somehow. Kyle Krutchmer, minus 135 favorite over the plus 105. Levan Chokeli, we're going with Kyle Krutchmer in this one. Let's go ahead and move on to this main card, you guys. We got five more fights for you here. Starting in the 170-pound division, it's DeMarcus Jackson, 11-5, taking on Mark Lemminger, 11-3. Starting with Jackson, scrap iron, 30 years old, 5'8". Lost his last time out against Gracik Bozinyan. That was his Bellator debut. Fought in the LFA for a while, though. He's fought the likes of Hugh Pooley, Harvey Park, so he's fought some good competition. Hasn't beat them, but he's at least seen it. He will be taking on Mark Lemminger, who's coming in with that record of 11-3. This guy, just physical specimen at 28 years old, 6'1", man. When you see him, he just looks tough. His last two fights were really tough, though. He took on Jaleel Willis and Amosov, but he does have wins over the likes of Ben Eggley, Rocky Edwards. No, not that one. So, I don't know. I don't got too much on this fight, honestly. Records have been said, all that good stuff. So, looking at the odds, Mark Lemminger is the very slight favorite. This one's basically a pick 'em, but he's minus 115 over the slight underdog, the minus 110, DeMarcus Jackson. A&A MMA going with Mark Lemminger in this one. Let's go ahead and move on to this next fight, a battle of two Brazilians in the women's flyweight division. It's Vanessa Porto, 22-9, taking on Ilara Joan. Porto, 37 years old, 5'3", lost her last time out against Liz Carmouche. That was her Bellator debut. Before that, she was in Invicta for the longest. That's kind of where she made her name. But her opponent, Ilara Joan, nickname Arya Stark. What you think about that one, Natalie?
Girl has no name.
27 years old, 5'3", lost her last time out against Kana Watanabe, but did win her debut against Beck Rawlings. That's a good win to have on your record. Odds on this one, Vanessa Porto, big favorite, minus 455 over the plus 325. Ilara Joan, we are going with Vanessa Porto in this one. Let's go ahead and move on to this next fight. He's back. It's Aaron Pico, 7-3, taking on the English fighter Aiden Lee. Let's go ahead and start with Aaron Pico, still just 24 years old, 5'8", fighting out of California. This guy, man, 3-fight win streak after, you know, he might have gotten thrown to the wolves a little bit too quick. You know, even after I thought Leandro Higo was going to give him some trouble. He survived that one, but, you know, Henry Corrales, that was a really tough fight. And then Adam Boric, I mean, two tough back-to-back losses there. But since then, he's gone on to beat Daniel Carey, Solo Hatley Jr., and John DeJesus. Man, Aaron Pico starting to hit his stride as a fighter. Seems like he's kind of worked on those things that were costing him those fights. We know the hands are stupid. We've seen the body shot knockouts. We know the wrestling's good. He has all the tools to become an eventual champion in any promotion. Has he finally put them together? It's going to get tested right here. He's going back into deep waters against good fighters. It's Aiden Lee, 9-4 overall, 26 years old. He's fought with like Tom Breese and those. Actually, I believe Tom Breese is his head coach. But this guy's been in Bellator for a while now. Three times he's fought in the Bellator cage. 2-1 in those fights. But yeah, this guy really good overall. Good jiu-jitsu, really good boxing. That's kind of where he makes his money there. So I mean, these guys kind of like really balance each other's skills out really well. I think it's going to be a fun one. It should be a pretty even match. But right now, Aaron Pico, the minus 500 favorite over the plus 350. Aiden Lee, pretty high, but A&A MMA going with Aaron Pico in this one. Let's go ahead and get into this co-main event of the evening. It's Semtex, Paul Daly, 43-17-2 overall, taking on Jason Jackson, 14-4. Start with Paul Daly. The Englishman, 38 years old, 5'9", fighting out of London, England. He's won his last three times out. Of course, his last fight was back like 2 months ago against Saba Hamasi when he just hit him with that stunning left hook and then turned it into that ground pound. He's won his last two fights with that left hook. Beat Saad Awad the same way and beat Eric Silva before that. Went on a two-fight losing streak to my boy, Michael Venom Page, and John Fitch, but those are his last five out. Taking on Jason Jackson, the ass-kicking machine, 14-4 overall, 30 years old, 6'1", fighting out of Sanford MMA. 4-1 in his last five, that one loss being to Ed Ruth via split decision. Not a bad loss to have, especially it coming via split. And then his four-fight win streak, he beat Klitschi Kunimoto, Jordan Mean, great win. Benson Henderson, better win. Neiman Gracie, probably even better win. I mean, that four-fight win streak for Jason Jackson is something serious. This guy is really hitting his stride. He's, like, in his prime right now, and Jason Jackson seems like he's kind of, like, setting himself up for this title run. And a win over Paul Daly kind of, I mean, you know, I can't argue with that. If they were to give him a title shot or, you know, say he's one fight from the title shot, can't argue with it, man. Jason Jackson really at the best point of his career right now. He's the minus 240 favorite over Paul Daly, the plus 180 underdog in this one. A&A MMA going with Jason Jackson. Which brings us to the main event of the evening and the last fight I have for you guys tonight. In the 170-pound division for the strap, it's Douglas Lima, 32-8 in his 40-fight career. The Brazilian taking on the undefeated fighter with the best undefeated record in all of mixed martial arts right now outside of Khabib, who is retired. Yaroslav Amosov, 25-0, never lost a fight. Getting the biggest shot of his career, though, taking on the champ, Douglas Lima. Starting with the champ, 3-2 his last five out, lost to Gegard Mousasi and Rory McDonald with wins over Rory McDonald, MVP, and Andrei Korshkov stuck in between those losses. So, yeah, I mean, Douglas Lima, when he's on point, nobody's beating him. Of course, he didn't get that middleweight championship his last time out. Still has the 170-pound strap, but he's got his, I'd say, his biggest test ahead of him. Yaroslav Amosov, just 27 years old, 5'11", the Ukrainian, with that perfect 25-0 record, man. I mean, wins over Logan Storley, only by split decision his last time out. Beat Mark Lemminger, Ed Ruth, David Rickles, Eric Silva. That's his last five. This guy, man, he was in Tech Crep for a while and just absolutely dominated there as well. He has shown some holes in his game, and I'm sure Douglas Lima knows exactly what those are. This fight's so tough to call, man, but I just feel like Douglas Lima, fighting at the level he has for so long, like, this guy just beat Rory McDonald in the last 2 years. Like, I got to go with the champ. I think Douglas Lima retains his belt, gives Yaroslav Amosov his first career loss, ending the best undefeated record, active undefeated record in MMA right now. A&A MMA, I'm going with Douglas Lima, the minus 140 favorite over the plus 110. Yaroslav Amosov. But that wraps that one up. That's Bellator 260. Got you guys on that one. Gave you guys the rundown for PFL number 4. And, of course, reviewed that card for you guys all here tonight. Like I said, tomorrow me and Slim should be recording for UFC 263. Slim will have some news from the week for you guys. So be on the lookout for all that stuff. Coming right back to you guys, hitting your airwaves very, very soon. So thank you all for listening. Big shouts out to my cat Spyro. I miss you, buddy. You'll be home soon. Daddy loves you. But other than that, you guys, take it easy. Like I said, subscribe to our Patreon. You are super appreciated. And other than that, you guys have a good night. Talk to you soon. Peace.